Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever I decide to post this. We are back, and with the Aces Up the Sleeve crew is back. I am joined with the co-managing partners of Pocket Aces Racing, Jared Shoemaker and Mark Wampler, and it's been a hot minute. We apologize, but we're back. We actually have a very interesting topic this time around to talk about, but before we kind of branch into it, Jared, let's start with you. How are you doing? It's been a while since we've had this conversation.
It's been too long, and you know, it's just things got away from us, and things get pushed back, and unfortunately, the podcast is the one big thing that got that suffered and got pushed to the back of the list. But we are working hard to. Avoid that being an issue going forward. So,
social hours back.
we're going to kick things off with just a little educational series on different topics that have come up over the years with us and been brought up with partners and things that we are, you know, answering questions about a lot of times for the partners. And so that's the plan going for at least for the immediate future. And then we'll kind of get back into our longer form. Shows in the near future.
Yeah, and we have, as I mentioned earlier, Mark is also popping in to join us for this little bite-sized mini-series, I guess if we want to call it. Mark, how are you doing? I know it's been a while since we've heard from you as well.
It's great. I'm doing well. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, we're recording this on Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and I'm just happy to be here talking to everybody. It's been a while, but glad to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a kind of a chit chat earlier, kind of before we started recording, about which topic we wanted to start with, because we actually have a pretty interesting list I think we've compiled over the last few months from various things that partners have asked us and some fans have asked about sometimes in our social media posts under our YouTube videos. I know I've seen a couple. So we decided we would start on the topic of the claiming ranks. I know some people are curious about why we run in them. Myself and Mark have not made our disdain for these ranks any secret of any kind. But sometimes, like, this is just how our current system is set up, and you have to kind of play with the rules you're given. So why don't we kind of start there? Like, what's the thinking? Why sometimes is it a necessity to go into claiming ranks even when we really don't want to?
Yeah. I'd like to pick it up, Jared. To understand why we do it, why we have to do it, you first have to understand how the system works. And, you know, there's people who aren't real happy with us when a horse gets claimed from us. But I think they've got to understand we have to play within the rules we're given. We didn't make the rules, you know, and I hate sounding like that, but it's just we wish there was a kind of different system, but this is how racing works. And we're a racing syndicate based in Kentucky. We like to focus on racing in Kentucky. And if you haven't won a race before, you've got a horse, the highest level you can start out at is a maiden special weight. And then from there are different claiming levels. There's, you know, you'll find as much as a maiden claiming 150, maiden claiming 100, maiden claiming 50, 75, all the way down to maiden $5,000. There's all these levels. So when we buy our yearlings, our goal and our hope is that they're able to start out at the highest level, maiden special weight. And the main reason for that is because we would prefer not to put them up for sale in a maiden claiming race. Because when you enter them in the maiden claiming race for whatever the tag is, anybody who is licensed to claim in Kentucky can come and claim your horse. We would prefer to avoid that. The problem is we compete in Kentucky and we buy horses for 50, 60, 70, you know, maybe a little more, sometimes a little less. And the And when you're racing in Kentucky, those horses that we've purchased for, let's say, from $20,000 to $100,000, they have to compete against Brad Cox's million-dollar horses, Mike Maker's million-dollar yearlings. And the reality is not every, you know, affordable horse that we buy can compete with those horses. You know, we've done a little research, and usually we get 1 in 5, 1 in 4 of the horses that we can afford that can compete and win against those really expensive yearlings. But the rest of them, you know, like I say, when we start out, we hope they're all maiden special weights, but when we get to crunch time, when we've breezed them 3/8, halves, 5/8, once we get a sense of where their talent is, we need to be really realistic at which one of these levels they fit in. If our $30,000 yearling, if we don't believe it can compete with a bunch of six-figure, you know, purchases in a maiden special weight at Churchill Downs, there's just really no point in running them. It's not going to be a good experience for the horse. So then, and we rely heavily on our trainers to, give us an accurate picture of what their ability level is. So, we can get them placed in where they can win. And, you know, a lot of times that's going to be in a maiden claiming race. And you know, the higher up the maiden claiming ranks, you know, from 50, 75, 100, I think it becomes less and less likely that your horse is going to get claimed. But below that, it gets, you know, it's easier. More people have money, like 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. So there's a lot of claiming activity at that era, in that level. But I would say first and foremost, our driving principle is to get these horses in the level where we think they can be competitive. We would prefer it be a maiden special weight, but at the end of the day, we're going to be realistic about where they belong.
Yeah, and it's so tough, and you know, we've referenced this before, you know, especially here, but really anywhere, if it's gotten, you know, ready-made racehorses, especially, are in high demand. You know, we look at the we look at all of the digital sales that come online, and just about every racehorse in those digital sales goes for more than what, you know, where we would typically value it. You know, a lot of times the horse of racing age sales, they go for a premium. It's just because there's such a value placed on ready-made racehorses. And so that's why there's so much claiming activity, and especially with the purse structure in Kentucky, that makes it extra active here. And then, but it's not just here; it's everywhere, as we saw earlier today. You know, we had again on this day that we're recording, Via Hefe just won his second start for us, and he was claimed for $35,000, which is a little bit less than what we paid for him, but it clearly was the spot he needed to be in. You know, he did go off as the favorite, but he won by 3/4 of the length. It played out, you know, kind of like we hoped it would. And you know, it showed that we had him in the right spot. Unfortunately, somebody else thought that he was worth taking for $35,000. And now they have to figure out what to do with him next, because it's going to be, you know, I think, you know, even if we kept him, I think it would have been tough for us to turn around and run him in an allowance race, because just because of the way he won the race today, you know, it just doesn't look like he's quite the allowance level horse. Maybe it plays out differently, but we'll see. But it's just, you got to get the horses where they can win. You know, if you're a partner and you've read our updates over the years, you've heard us talk a lot and mention a lot about getting a horse confidence, and, you know, sending a horse out to, you know, run into a brick wall and run into monster after monster and just get their heads dented every time they run, that's no good for anybody. It's not good for the partners. It's the ownership group. It's not good for the horse. And there's just, you know, you just can't continue to do that. So you got to find places for them to win. And, you know, we at times have spent a lot of, you know, we've won a lot of races at Belterra Park, and you know, the bottom line is we're not really that interested in doing that anymore, especially with the way the purse structures are there. I mean, the maiden special weight races are $13,000 purses, and it's kind of untenable to depend on winning races at that track. So we're trying to race at bigger tracks, and when you're at a bigger track, that makes your horse more likely to get claimed, unfortunately.
I would say that our trainers, you know, this has happened. It's if not the first race or the second or third race, we have horses get claimed from us. But our trainers have done an excellent job, and it seems like this has happened a lot with Brendan. He gets a lot of our horses, and we'll run them in a maiden 50, maiden 30, something like that. They get claimed, but Brendan was always spot on what they were. You know, they, with one maybe small exception, everything that has been claimed from us has continued to be a claiming horse for the rest of their careers, which means we would have had to, if we wanted to win races with them, we would have had to continue running them and claiming races, and eventually somebody was going to take them from us. We haven't had, you know, a horse claimed off of us that turned out to be something we didn't really think that horse was, and we were wrong. And I think a lot of that has to do with Brendan having so many good horses. He works them together. He's got a great barometer in every division. Colt, filly, long, short, turf, dirt. He's got a bunch of good horses in every division. And he knows within his stable how they stack up. And, you know, he's been spot on the horses that we've actually entered in claiming ranks. It's where they needed to be to win.
Yeah, so again, it's not something that we like. We understand the frustration of the partners when this happens. Especially if it's a young horse and you've been with it for 9-12 months and you've kind of gotten attached to it. It's tough, it's an unfortunate part of the game and where we have to be at times. We're seeing more of these. Ratings races that are starting to pop up at different tracks around the country. You don't typically see a whole lot of maiden rating races, but I expect maybe that will come as people get more accustomed to this. Every horse is assigned. I guess they're not every horse, because some of them I still look on Equibase and they don't all have them. But hopefully we'll get to a point where all horses have a rating, and that we can. We can find opportunities when the time calls for it to put them in these ratings races. I would love to see racing secretaries have different levels of maiden auction. Have a maiden auction, a horse that was purchased between 50 and 100, and then another horse, or another for horses that were under 50 or something like that. And
They're going to have to do something with those races, because they're having a hard time getting them to go. They're going to have to expand it, up it, do something, because here in Kentucky, I have a feeling, it just feels like to me that those races have had a hard time getting to go.
Yeah, it is certainly, at least for Colts going along this spring, it's been tough for sure.
And one thing too, You were touching on the rating system. I'd give a brief explanation of that. And if we were going to overhaul the system, I would prefer to go something like a European rating system. And that's where the handicappers, the powers that be in Europe, they assign a rating to a horse and based on its performance. And then the races that aren't the maiden special weights or the stakes races are handicap races. And in those races, horses, say, rated from 50 to 65, they compete against each other. And that's the bulk of the racing they have, instead of having claiming racing. As far as I know, I haven't done any research on the history of claiming, but claiming is an American thing. It started somewhere over here, And what
Yeah, it's very rare in Europe. Like, I see them occasionally in Italy, as like a weird kind of aside. I see them occasionally in Italy, but I very, very, very rarely see them anywhere else.
And maybe we might go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead and finish, and then I'll
There's
jump in.
obviously another way to do it without having to sell your horse to put them in the right race. And it's this rating system. The Jockey Club and Equibase have started this in the United States now. They have started assigning ratings to horses. And they have some tracks have started running these handicap races, ratings races. It's been far and few between from what I have seen, but we would tell our partners to keep an eye on that. We would love to see that getting bigger, and it'll help us not have to run our horses for a tag so often.
Yeah, and just for a little bit of background, claiming races started primarily as a way to keep people from putting their really good horses in and stealing them and poaching a purse. So it's our version of that handicap and rating system to just keep people from, sending their derby horses in to, win a race that. For no money, very little money or something like that, your big stakes horse to just send up to some small track and poach a purse. So that's why it exists. It's to try to provide more level playing fields or more level races on race day. So.
I think that's another example of the way our industry operates that's antiquated. That probably made a lot of sense 100 years ago, or 60, 70 years ago. Like just the same way, 100 years ago, it made sense to have a mile and a quarter race one week, and 2 weeks later, a mile and 3/16 race. As the first two stops of your Triple Crown. Horses don't run like that anymore. You need to spread those out a little bit, but that's a whole nother topic. But that was the first I'd heard of how the claiming system got started. That's very interesting, but I think it's outdated. We need a new system because we're trying. I think what the, back then, I think the pool of owners was a lot smaller. It was individuals who owned these horses, and they were born into it. They had to be. It was a sport of kings. Now, in this day and age, with so many people who are fans able to get into the game with you don't have to be a billionaire, multimillionaire, and horses and people getting into the game, it's hard to attract more. And that's what we need for this game to go forward, is getting more regular, quote unquote, people involved. But it's harder to get those people involved when you tell them, yeah, the horse you've fallen in love with over the last year that you bought into, we're going to put him in a race where he might be for sale. And I think that's harder for someone who's new to the game to understand. So, we would definitely like to see ratings for maidens, or ratings for claiming races, more maiden auction races, so we have more options.
So I think we've beaten that dead horse about as much as we can. So thanks for jumping back in for our return episode, and stay tuned for the next few weeks, month or so, and we're going to give some more of these little short educational topics, and then, like I said, get back into our longer form shows after that. So that's it for episode. 1V, we'll call it. One is a second season or whatever. I don't know.
See everybody at the track.
That's right.
Yep. Have a good one, everybody.